Hey, can I ask you a question? How strong are you? Are you strong? I'm talking about spiritually, not necessarily physically. How strong are you? Can you go through adversity and trials in your life and endure? Can you rise above troubles in your life right now? I want to preach today on the subject. I've been thinking about this for several days and really a week or two. In the day of adversity. That's the title of the message. In the day of adversity. And speaking of strength, it reminded me of this great big burly strong man who was demonstrating his strength, and he was doing a number of things. You perhaps have seen some of them as they demonstrated. Anyway, he took a lemon and he grabbed the lemon. He ripped it in half. He took one hand. He squeezed the lemon with all of his might and out poured the juice out of the lemon, filling up just about a cup full of lemon juice. And he squeezed it again and squeezed it again until every drop seemed to go out of the lemon. He said, I'll give any man here $1,000 in cash that can squeeze 10 drops out of this lemon that I just squeezed. Oh, scrawny man, weighed 100 pounds, soaking wet, jumped up from the audience, ran up there, grabbed that lemon, squeezed it, and my soul, the lemon juice began to pour out of that lemon, filling up a half of a cup. Everybody was absolutely beside themselves. The strong man looked at the man, said, what in the world? How in the world did you do that? He said, what do you do for a living? The man looked at him and said, I work with the IRS. You got to hand it to them. If you don't, they'll come and get it. Amen. Hey, but look. In the day of adversity, there's some of us today, truth be known, you're going through some hard times. Oh, yes, there's some of us today that we are having a difficult time in the day of adversity. And let me just jog your memory in case you've gotten a case of amnesia and forgetting about the troubles and trials. I want you to look up at the board. Here's some things that keep us and cause us to faint in the day of adversity. Number one, corruption. And by the way, I didn't derive at this. You'll notice at the bottom of the screen, I copied this week. But these are the fears, the top fears of people, top 10 things America fears most. Number one, corruption of government officials. 60%. How many of you are concerned about that? Let me see your hand. You know you are. You may not have raised your hand, but oh, that's on everybody's mind. Terroristic attacks, 41%. Not having enough money for the future. How many of you get concerned about that? And you know that you're having a difficult time about finances for the future. Look at this. Being a victim of terror. That goes under the same heading, 38%. Government restrictions on firearms and ammunition. I dare say this, yeah, thank you, man. I was meeting with a man this week, and he told me, he said, Pastor, do you have a gun? I said, I got more than one, all right? I said, if I have to use it, I will, bless God. I believe in defense. Jesus said, take a sword. By the matter of fact, take two swords. That's another message in itself. But anyway, look over here. People, I love dying. Wow, are you afraid of that? I just got a message from Mary Tucker. She came up here just about 5-10 minutes ago and said, Scott Parker has cancer. Let's pray for Scott. I'm not sure the extent of it, but lift him up in prayer. People I love, and we believe God's in the... How many believe that God can heal bodies? Let me see your hand. How many of the Lord has touched your body? You've been down and God has done a work. We praise him for it. Let's just praise the Lord right there. Amen. God has done some things and we want to bless him. We want to praise him. Our God is a great God. I tell you what, everybody ought to know Jesus. Look at this, economic or financial collapse. Identity theft, that is robbing or stealing or breaking in your home. People I love becoming seriously ill. You know what, beloved, as a church family, I looked over this just this past year, over the last year. And Brother Charlton, I can remember it was a year ago, this time last year when Lois went to be with the Lord. I'm telling you, since last year, this time, I personally averaged every 2 to 3 weeks preaching a funeral since last year, preaching a funeral. And that's not just showing up at the funeral. That's being with them in their home, being there at the funeral home and so forth and so on. And so life is but a vapor. We understand that, but the best is yet to come. I believe that with all my heart. And so we need to pray today. And then Obamacare. How many are really, really concerned about this Obamacare? Well, these are some issues that you are and I am facing today. And if we faint in the day of adversity, our strength is small. Take your Bibles and turn to the book of Proverbs, chapter 24. Stand to your feet as we read one verse in the Bible. The Lord led me for one verse in the Bible. This is not an exposition, it's rather an expedition. And I want to just today, if I might do that, take liberty to read one verse of Scripture and let the Holy Spirit of God lead in this one verse of Scripture. And we're looking today at Solomon's inspired writing, namely in the book of Proverbs, otherwise known as Wisdom, chapter 24. In the book of Proverbs, chapter 24. Here's one verse the Lord has led me to. I don't know why, but I do believe this. In the light of you going to vote, if you hadn't already, being salt and light in a dark world. I hope you will. I trust you will. Somebody told me the other day in the church, said, Pastor, I'm just not going to vote at all. Well, if you don't vote, you sure can't complain. Amen. You don't need to complain anyway, but you need to vote. If you've got that responsibility, our men are fighting and women fighting for our freedom so that we have that liberty to do such and leave the results in God's hands. I'm glad He's in control. Somebody say amen. Amen. Proverbs chapter 24 and verse 10. Look at it. If thou faint in the day of adversity. Let's say that together. If thou faint. I can't hear you. Say it again. Some of you are not saying that. Why not? Say it one more time. You see, there's something about that. If you faint in the day of adversity. That word adversity means a time of trouble. The Hebrew word means a time of distress. It can actually even mean a time of adversary. Not only adversity or stress or trouble, but a time of the adversary. Wait a minute, let's continue to read. If thou faint, give up, get weak, cave in, throw in the towel. I'm looking at some men and women, man, you're discouraged. I understand. If we faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small. How strong are you today? How strong are you today? Are you going to rise above your adversity? Are you going to overcome those obstacles? Are you going to let the things and circumstances in life get you down and discouraged, ineffective, unable to serve God and make a difference for God's glass? That's what the devil wants, to make us ineffective. Well, if thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small. We're going today two parts to this message. Number one, what are the causes to fainting? And number two, what are the cures for fainting? What are the causes for fainting? And what are the cures for fainting? Father, I thank you now. Lord, what our eyes have seen, what our ears have heard, what our hearts have felt. Oh, God, we worship you because you're alive, because you've risen from the grave, because you are ascended into heaven. You are over all, and we rest in your grace. We thank you, blessed Father, today that you love us. You changed my heart. You saved me from my sin, and you said you'd give us life and give it more abundantly. I ask you, Father, today, in the mighty name of Jesus, to cause us by your power and your might to rise above the discouragement and to be more than conquerors in you, precious Lord. No matter what's going on, no matter how we feel, no matter, dear God, things that we cannot control, we just ask you to release your mighty power today and restrain the works of the evil one today, and that, God, you loose us from the grip of depression and oppression and things, dear Lord, that we can commit to you, and we bless bless you today for changing lives. I thank you, Lord, your word will not return to you void or empty. I want to thank you for every man, woman, boy, and girl here today. Mamas and daddies, Lord, no doubt are feeling like fainting. And grandparents feel like fainting. And soldiers of the cross feel like fainting. Oh, breath of heaven, Lord, enforce Calvary's victory today. And visit with us today. And lift the heavy burdens today. And break every stronghold of Satan today. And we thank you now for the blood and the cross and the empty tomb. And we pray now you'll save every person here that's not ready to meet you. And God, you'll stir the hearts and revive the souls of your people. Oh, Father, forgive us of complaining. Forgive us of being negative. Forgive us of giving in to the flesh. And Lord, set our souls on fire that we might be about your business. And God, when all is said and done, we'll thank you because you alone are worthy. And we bless you and worship you today and pray that you'll get glory for everything that's said and done this day. It's all about you, Lord. And we just recognize we're nothing without you. Cleanse my heart. Fill us now afresh with Holy Ghost power and give the hearers here ears to hear, hearts to obey. And Lord, we give you thanksgiving, Father, because of your goodness and because of your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. The church said, amen. You may be seated. Here's where we're going in the message today. There are two parts. Number one, what are the causes of fainting? What are the causes of fainting? Listen to me, beloved. We can act like we're not going through a lot. But I'll tell you, the Lord knows exactly what you're going through today. He knows how we have had maybe perhaps a tough week. How many of you had a tough week? Let me see your hand. How many are going through a time in your life when mamas and daddies, you just kind of gotten discouraged, and grandparents, you've about ready to faint. Oh, you can't do it now. Don't do it now. There's three causes of fainting the Lord put in my heart to share with you today. Number one, what are the causes of fainting? Will you do what God tells you to do in a moment? When God says, don't act like you don't have some stress on your mind. Don't act like you don't have a heavy burden. But today, will you take that burden to the Lord? Will you cast it upon the Lord? Will you say, Lord Jesus, I can't keep on keeping on. I can't have a good attitude. I can't rise above my circumstances without your power. Will you say today, Lord Jesus, I need your mighty infusion of divine life from above to live in victory. How many want to live in victory today? Amen and amen and amen. Number one, the first cause of fainting is, watch this, when you lose hope. When you lose hope. Don't you agree with me? If you agree with me, shake your head. When you lose hope, do you agree with me? When you lose hope, you and I have a tendency to faint in the day of adversity. I was standing there at the Deer Festival yesterday. Can I be honest with y'all? I've got a confession to make. I'll be honest with you. I was standing there yesterday, and we've had the privilege of being involved in the Deer Festival for a number of years. I thank God for the vision of those men and women in the church here today that went the extra mile to get things done and serve God. But truthfully, can I be honest with you? I just want to be honest with you today. I'll be honest with you. There's a lot of distractions at the Deer Festival. I mean, the parade is going and the drums are playing and the music is loud and people are walking around all across the square and there's just a lot of things going on. I said before I got there yesterday, I said, Lord, help me to keep my eyes on you today. Help me to believe your God by faith, because faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Oh, but I want to tell you, God showed up and God showed out yesterday for his glory. Our God is a great God. He's a mighty God. He cannot be restricted. He rules and reigns, and the kingdoms of this world are becoming the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ. He's going to reign forever and forever. He's not affected by noise or by bands or by distractions. God can do anything but fail. Is your God like that? Is your God like that? How strong are you? Number one, when we lose hope. I was there standing at the Deer Festival yesterday. A young man, 17 years old, came up. I said, I'll not tell his name right at the moment, but I remember his name. I said, young man, what are you going through? He said, well, I'd never met him before that I can recall. 17 years old. I said, young man, tell me something. What is your relationship with God? He looked at me and he said with a smile on his face, I'm an agnostic. I said, really? You're an agnostic? You know what that means, don't you? Agnostic. He said, well, I believe there's a God, but I don't believe that you can really know this God. I said, oh, is that a matter of fact? He said, I'm a man of science. I study science. I said, okay, tell me more. What is it that you don't believe in God? What is it? As we begin to dialogue, I'm not going to go into all the conversation right now. I wish you'd have been there. I was there. I wish you could have been there. I was there. What would you say to a man that says, oh, I don't believe that God can have a personal relationship with his creation? Yes, he can. And I looked at that young man and I began to tell him of the fact that I've studied science too. And science is changing. Somebody say amen. I said, science books are changing. Why, you can line them up from here to Larry's four-way, Larry's new four-way. You can line them up from here to Larry's new four-way, and all of them are changing. But I told him, I said, young man, I want to tell you, there's a book right here that does not change. It's the same yesterday, today, and forever, and Jesus doesn't change. We've got a rock we can stand on. We've got a Savior that's still in the life-changing business, and everybody ought to have a friend like Jesus. Yes, sir. Yes, sir, it doesn't change. And I looked at the young man, and I knew there was something deeper in his heart. How many know that a lot of times people masquerade what they claim in public when in fact there's really something deeper in their heart keeping them from coming to Jesus? Let me see a witness in the house. Oh, yes, there's something deeper. And as you begin to unfold one layer after another layer, you begin to find out. I said, tell me about your life. Young man looked at me, I looked at him. He said, well, honestly, I've come from a home and my daddy doesn't have anything to do with me. My mama kicked me out of my home, 17 years old. I said, really? I looked straight in his eyes and I could see the hurt in his eyes. I could see the pain in his eyes. I could feel the rejection in his heart. And I looked at him and I said to him, I said, well, I'm sorry about that, but I want to tell you about one that can love you unconditionally. I want to tell you about one that will never leave you nor forsake you. I want to tell you about one that can meet the deepest need of your heart. He can make you have some identity in him. And I'll tell you about the one that's changed my life. His name is Jesus. He can do anything but fail. Hallelujah. He can change the Ethiopian skin and the leper spot. And I want to tell you, if you say yes to Jesus, it's the greatest day you'll ever have. It's the greatest day you'll ever have. Now, I don't know when the last time you had a chance to witness. When was the last time you had the chance to share your faith? You say, Pastor, I would have said this. Well, you do it your way, and I'll ask God to help me, as feeble as it is, to do it my way. Oh, his way, anyway. And I looked at him, and I said to him, creation tells us there's a God. Look around. You hadn't bought into the lies of evolution, have you? He said, well, I watched the History Channel. I believe in science. I said, well, have you ever heard, once I was a tadpole when I began, then I was a frog with my tail tucked in, next I was a monkey in a coconut tree, and now I'm a professor with a PhD. That's about the size of the evolution hogwash. It's a hoax, to say the least. I wish I had time to deal with more, but I had to cut through all the chase. For example, embryology and this so-called Nebraska man and Colorado ape man and Piltdown man that they paint as fact rather than fiction in our encyclopedias as well as our museums. I challenge you to check out the facts. You'll find out many of these so-called prehistoric races were nothing more than a discovery of an extinct pig. They found small bone fragments pieced together a progression of monkey to man. How many have ever seen that in the textbook? Let me see your hand. It is just not fact. There's no transitional fossil, et cetera, et cetera. I could get more on that, but I've got to move on because I want to tell you some more. I looked at that young man and I said, young man, the problem that you're having, I believe, is that you're saying, see if you agree. There might be somebody here today that you might have gone through the same thing. I told him about coming from a broken home. I told him about the anger and the bitterness that I felt. I told him that God would set him free. I told him that he could get healing today. And you see, the fact is, he was angry and bitter, and he was resentful. He said, God, he didn't say this out loud, but he said in his heart. I said, young man, you probably have said, if God is a good God, like you Christians say, why would a good God allow me to go through what I've been through? My mama doesn't want me. My daddy has nothing. I don't even know my daddy. I said, you might not know your earthly daddy, but we've got a heavenly Father. He'll make you a son and daughter. Somebody say amen. When thy father and mother forsake thee, the Lord will take thee up. Psalm 27 verse 10. And in the letter to the Corinthian believers, God said, I'll be a father to you, and you will be my sons and daughters. I wish I could tell you that young man looked to Jesus. I said, I'm going to pray for you. I said, don't you think it's about time to trust Jesus? He said, he was rambling about what to do. A lot of distractions. I said, I want to pray for you. You do what God tells you to do. I believe today is the day of salvation. You know what the Lord showed me when I was talking to this young man? This is the kind of young men that go get a gun, click, and blow their brains out. Y'all with me? I said, are you with me? You don't know who you talk with tomorrow. You don't know what they're going through. We've got to throw out the lifeline. I said, we've got to throw out the lifeline. You say, Pastor, it's not my... Yes, it is your responsibility. Throw out the... There's hope. There's hope. There's hope. Now, there's two great men of God. I find in the Word of God that they lost hope. Now, if two great men of God lost hope in the Bible, more than likely you're going to lose hope too one of these days. As you go through troubles and trials, number one, what about the man that was on a ship? He was on a ship and he was told he was going to go to Rome. Oh, really? Yeah. But he got on the ship and about midway of the voyage, you know what happened? A great turbulent hurricane typhoon blew up. And as he was on the ship, they couldn't see the sun or the stars for 10 days. Listen to me. The Word of God says, Luke recording the words, it looked like all hope was gone. Have you ever been there, lost hope? Some of you today say, you know, I'm never going to get out of debt. Some of you say, I'm never going to have a good job. Some of you today say, I'm never going to get to the place where I can retire. Some of you today are saying, I'm never going to be pain-free. I'm going to live with this all of my life. It's easy to lose hope, but God is the God of all hope. Romans chapter 15 and verse number 13. Paul wrote and said, now by the God of hope, fill you with all joy and peace and believing that you might abound in hope. Let me go back to the account found in the Scripture. This man is on a voyage. He's lost hope. It looked like all hope had gone. Some of you today are reaching out and saying, God, where are you? Look at the mess of our nation. Look at the clowns that are going on today. Oh, Lord, what in the world is going on? You're about to lose hope. You're about to cave in. If thou faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small. Some of you have seen a lot. You've been through a lot. But today, you've got to rise above all this negativism in our culture. You've got to be a conqueror. You need to overcome because, hallelujah, in Jesus we're overcomers. I visited a lady in the hospital. I'm thinking right now, Alice's mom, 13 weeks down there in the hospital in rehab. I visited her on Monday on my way down to Glenville, Georgia. You talk about giving up. You talk about giving up hope on oxygen. Can't breathe. But I heard the report just on Friday night when we went down to the Monticello High School football game. After speaking to the high school players, I heard that, hallelujah, she is doing better. And it looks like, the Lord willing, that tracheotomy that she's had, things are going better for her, and it looks like if God's will be done, she might get to come home maybe before Thanksgiving. And the church said, oh, listen, God is God and God is good. I told the folks last week, Eddie, who is Calvin and Pam's Calvin's brother, I saw him, he looked like death warmed over in the ICU room just about a month ago in September, and I saw him. I said all the complications. He was leaking fluids from the inside in his stomach area. It didn't look good. But how many know that God is in the life-changing healing business, and sometimes it's his will, because he's not finished with us yet. It ain't over till it's over. I'm glad our God always has the final say-so. He does. And so this man's lost hope. Have you lost hope? You know what happens? The sun's not shining. He can't see the stars. You ever been there? I said, have you ever been there? Some of you have been there. It looked like there was no hope. The devil's lying to us. The enemy's trying to get us defeated. But this man named, start to tell you his name. This man had a visitor. How many believe in angels? Let me see your hand. Oh, yes. God has his dispatching disembodied spirits to do what he tells them to do. And this man had an angel to appear before him. And you know what he said? He said, be good cheer. You're going to make it through. Woo! If you've ever been in that situation when it did look like all hope was lost and you couldn't see your way clear, and then God confirms he's going to help you through, I'll tell you, you can't help but shout. You're going to make it through. I came today to tell you, he's going to carry you through. Underneath us is his everlasting arms. Above us is all-seeing eye. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Say it with me. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. You see, there's perfect satisfaction. The Lord is my shepherd. Perfect direction. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. Oh, perfect protection. He prepares a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Oh, yes. Yea, though I even walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. And then there's perfect celebration. Yea, he said, surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Hey, don't forget, as I said last week, this is our temporary home. Hey, don't build your nest too comfortable here below. We are pilgrims passing through. All this stuff that's going on in our world and our culture, make a difference while you can. Live godly while you can. We're in the OJT, on the job training. We're studying, and we're being prepared to live in glory, and we're going to worship the Lord all forever and ever and ever. We might as well learn how to overcome now, because Jesus said, in the world you'll have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. Oh yes, this man had a heavenly visitor, and the visitor said, be of good cheer, you're going to make it to Rome. How many know that was enough for Paul to say, hallelujah, if God be for us, who can be against us? How many did good work today? If you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small. Some of you are about ready to faint. You say, bless God, if Hillary Clinton gets elected president, I think I'll faint. Some of you are saying, bless God, if Donald Trump gets elected president, I think I'll faint. Some of you are saying, bless God, I don't know what I'm going to do if whatever goes on in this nation, you're about ready to faint. If you faint in the day of adversity, Josh, your strength is small. Your strength is small. Hey, wait a minute. Another man who is one of the greatest men in the Bible felt like fainting. It's all right when you feel like fainting, but you don't have to stay like that. What was his name? Well, let me just remind you what happened. His family had been taken captive. This man was a mighty man. And yet his family, his loved ones, and some of his men had been overcome by the enemy. And it looked, hey, listen, it looked like they were, his own people were saying, it's your fault. I'm paraphrasing, of course. It's your fault we're going through this. It's your fault. Have you ever felt like that? It was your fault that you can't do anything about it. And this man in the Bible who felt like losing all hope, the Bible said he saw no way out. He was in great distress. That is, he felt like he was hemmed in. Have you ever been there? But wait a minute. The Lord said, the Bible declares in 1 Samuel chapter 30 and verse number 6, he encouraged himself in the Lord. I said he encouraged himself in the Lord. I said you can always encourage yourself in the Lord. I said, will you encourage yourself in the Lord today? That's what will get you through what you're going through. You think about God's goodness. You think about God's been with you. How many know, has God brought you through things in the past? Let me see your hand. Oh, yes, he has. He's not going to leave you now. Oh, no, he's not. Not the God of the Bible. No, we might have hard times. But oh, when you pass through the waters, I'll be with thee, and through the floods, I shall overflow thee. And when you walk upon the fire, you shall not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. And Paul said, tribulation works patience, and patience works character. God knows he's got his hand on the thermostat. He knows what you're going through. He knows how much to turn the flame up to purify us and bring us out like gold. It was Paul who said, we're troubled on every side, yet not in distress, perplexed but not in despair, persecuted but not forsaken, cast down but not destroyed. That's 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse number 8. Have you ever felt like you're stuck in a rut? Oh, listen, beloved. God came to this man. What was this man's name I'm talking about? His name was David, King David. He encouraged himself in the Lord. And you know what God did? Hey, God works on his timetable. It's not always on our timetable, but God Almighty, he has our best interests in mind. Somebody say glory. I'm telling you, if you believe that, that'll carry you through the storm. That'll carry you through the hard time. And speaking of that, I heard about two old boys were out in the field one day, and they were out in this open field. They were just kind of, you know, two teenagers just kind of playing around in the farmer's field. All of a sudden, they looked up, and they saw this great big black bull. Man, this bull was snorting and rearing his head and kicking up the dust. And about that time, that great big bull made a beeline right to them. And they looked up and saw that bull charging them. Come on, let's run quick. They ran as fast as they could, trying to reach the fence over there, and they knew they couldn't make it. One of them said to the other one, do something quick. Do something quick. We're not going to make it. Do something quick. What am I to do? They're running. He said, pray, pray, pray. The young man said, I don't know what to pray. I don't know what to pray. Do something. Pray, pray. He said, well, I have heard my daddy pray. Well, pray. They stopped right in the field, bowed down, and he said, well, pray. He said, all I know is what my daddy prays when we sit down at the meal. Dear God, thank you for what we're about to receive. You've been there too, I suppose. When we lose hope, it can cause us to faint. Tell me, is your strength small? Number two, when we lose our purpose, we can faint. I've got to hasten to tell you about an account in the Bible where this one man, I would not have known what kind of person it was had the Bible not have told me. This one man made some bad decisions. Have you ever made a bad decision? Let me see your hand. Ah, yes, we all have, hadn't we? He made a bad decision. And you see, he lost hope. Next thing you know, he starts to mix and mingle with his friends. And wait a minute, young people, look up here for a moment. How many know that our friends can influence us bad as they can influence us for good? Amen. Be careful who your friends are. He that walks with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. A friend loveth at all times, but a brother's born for adversity. Yes, as iron sharpens iron, a friend sharpens the countenance of a friend. That's Proverbs 17:17, Proverbs 27:17, and Proverbs 13, verse 24. Listen, this man lost hope. Why? Because he lost his purpose. Have you lost your purpose in life? Well, bless God, you say, Pastor, I go to work, I come home, I clean the house, I do the dishes, I go out and get the groceries, and it seems like I'm just going to the... Have you lost your purpose? We're here to bring glory to the Lord, and there's nothing more fulfilling in life than when you know you're bringing God glory. Commit your work to the Lord. You say, but bless God, Brother Pastor, if I had a job like you, man, I could just praise God all day long. Really? Some people say, preachers only work one day a week. I've had the privilege of preaching. I'm not saying this to brag, but I need your prayers. I've had the privilege of preaching 15 times this week, driving over 500 miles, 600 miles. Preached last Sunday 4 times, Monday night in Glenville, Georgia, Tuesday night in Glenville, Georgia, Wednesday night back home, Thursday morning, Friday at the high school, and Saturday at the Deer Festival numerous times sharing the gospel today, 3 times at least. And I'm not saying that to brag or boast, but in between that, we got meetings all week long. We got appointments. We got discipleship training. I mean, preachers only work one day a week. Right. Hey, look, if you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small. Yes, when we lose our purpose, have you lost your purpose? Have you said, dear God, I don't know? When you stop serving God, you lose your purpose. When you stop serving God, you lose your purpose. You say, bless God, I don't have to do that in order to be saved. No, I know you don't. But if you're really saved, you're going to want to serve the Lord, because thank God Jesus gave his all for me, and he who died for me, and that I should no longer live for myself, but for him who died and rose again. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14 and 15. Oh, yes, we've got a brand new motivation with a love, with a brand new love, with a brand new motivation, and a brand new Lord, with a brand new transformation and a brand new life with a brand new destination. Oh, I want to tell you something. The greatest day of my life was when Jesus saved me. The greatest day of my life. And I wouldn't take anything from my journey now. I'm telling you, my Lord's been good to me. And if even he took me home this afternoon, I still would say he's been good to me. He don't owe me another thing. He doesn't owe me another thing. Have you lost your purpose? Have you lost your purpose? Number three. Not only when you lose hope and lose your purpose, but wait a minute, this is going to hit hard to those of us and those of you that have been serving God. When you get weary in well-doing, you can faint. Somebody say amen. When you get weary in well-doing, hey, there's so much needs to get done. Daddies and mamas, and if you're not serving God, maybe you need to start serving the Lord. But it's not I, but it's Christ that lives in me. And I'm looking at a crowd today that it's easy to get weary in well-doing. Galatians 6, 9, be not weary in well-doing. 7 and 8, be not weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. There's some daddies and mamas, you've gotten weary. You say, man, all the responsibilities of being a daddy. You be the best daddy you can be. Be the best Christian daddy you can be. Be the best Christian mama and grandmama you can be. Hey, it's easy to get weary in well-doing. And when we get weary in well-doing, we faint. Oh, but there's some people today that say, God, I need to get renewed. Is there anybody here that says, Lord, I need renewal today? I do. I'm telling you, it's easy to get weary in well-doing. Oh, yes, it is. Well, what keeps us from fainting? Three causes of fainting and three cures for fainting. If thou faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small. Number one, hope in the Lord. What are the cures for fainting? If the causes of fainting are to lose hope and to lose purpose and to get weary in well-doing, then wait a minute, it only stands to reason that to cure this cause for fainting, it must be that I must hope in the Lord. As the word says in the book of Psalm 46, David said, God is our refuge and strength. Let's say that together. God is our refuge and strength. One more time. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. And though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried in the midst of the sea, and though the waters thereof roar and are troubled, and though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, there is a river. Oh, yes, there's a river. And God says, be still and know that I'm God. I'll be exalted among the heathen. I'll be exalted in the earth. Do you hope in the Lord? I will lift up my eyes unto the hills. From whence comes my help? My help comes from the Lord. Will you hope in God today? Will you say, Lord, I know you love me. I know you got me in your double grip. I know, Lord Jesus, that you're coming one day. But until then, pour in grace in my heart. Until then, release resurrection power. Help me to know you and let you be known. Oh, help me to fulfill my purpose. Help me to run the race. Help me to keep fighting the good fight of faith. Help me to stay clothed with the whole armor of God. Help me to throw out the lifeline. Help me to preach the good news. Help me, dear God, to keep my eyes on you. Help me, Father, to wrestle not against flesh and blood. Help me, precious Lord, to pursue holiness and righteousness. Help me, dear God, to love you with all my heart, all my soul, all my mind. Pour in fresh oil. I need a double portion of your spirit. Enable me to be a resurrection power. Dear God, I need you today, and I have got to have you because you are my very life. Some of you are satisfied, aren't you? You got things under control. You got a job. You got a bank account. You don't really need God. You really do. You just might think you don't. Listen. Hope in the Lord. Find your purpose in Him. Paul said, for me to live is Christ, to die is gain. Let's say that together. For me to live is Christ, to die is gain. One more time. He said to the church of Philippi, a prison epistle, I'm in a strait bewitched too. I'm caught between a hard place and a rock. I have a desire to go to be with the Lord, but for your sakes, Philippian church, I will remain in the flesh. I know some of you are ready to get your heavenly home, but we're not there yet. God's got a work for you to do. He's going to take us when he gets ready for us. Yes, we're looking forward to that day, but until then, how many know that God wants to make a difference in your life? And he is. I see so many of you. The Lord is using you greatly. Hallelujah. I want to say, brother, keep on keeping on. Sister, keep on keeping on. And then last but not least, as we wait upon the Lord, that's what keeps us from getting weary and well-doing. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Let's say that together. They that wait upon the Lord, that means I exchange my strength for God's strength. That's right. I exchange my strength for God. They that wait upon the Lord. Will you wait upon the Lord today? Will you take time to get at the feet of Jesus today? Will you let those burdens and those cares and that stress release it in the hands of the Lord? Hey, listen, beloved, I'm preaching myself right now. How many of you say, Brother Pastor, my biggest challenge is I feel anxious about things that are going to happen tomorrow and in the future. Things I can't control. Yeah, that's where you're at. Take no thought of tomorrow, for tomorrow shall take thought of itself. Sufficient is the day thereof. Have you learned to be content in whatever circumstances you're in? Philippians chapter 4 and verse 11. Paul, the apostle, prison. I've learned to be satisfied. I'm closing now. In the day of adversity, can I tell you what happened Monday night? Got down at Glenville at Calvary Baptist Church. Service started about 6:30. Music, praising the Lord. First preacher, then the pastor calling me to share the word of God, the second preacher. And as I was preaching, I noticed a young man sitting out in the congregation. I didn't know who he was, never seen him before. But during the invitation, I could sense that God was speaking to him. How many know what I'm talking about? Can you tell when God's working on somebody? I could tell. As he left, the Lord blessed the service. Thank you for praying. I really mean that. I'm not saying that lightly. But as he was leaving, I looked at him. He was 6'4", 21 years old. I looked at him. Somebody say amen. I looked at him. I could kick him in the knee if he hit. No, I'm just kidding. Anyway, I looked at him. I said, young man, are you ready to meet God? He said, and there's people on the line. Now, keep in mind, I didn't have a lot of time to talk. He said, yeah, I think so. I said, well, have you ever made peace? Have you ever asked Jesus to forgive you for sin? He said, when I was a child. And I said, really? I said, do you remember it? Anyway, bottom line, he was making an exit. How many know what I'm talking about, man? He was going out as fast as he could. I again burdened. I said, what's your name? I'm going to pray for you. He told me his name, Matthew. I said, Matthew, I'm going to pray for you. Please come back tomorrow night. 21 years old. And a friend had invited him. Real friends bring their friends to Jesus. Y'all got to help me right there. I said, real friends don't let their friends die and go to hell. Hello. Real friends bring their friends to Jesus. No excuses, no alibis. Real friends bring them. Anyway, this friend brought him to church on Monday night, and then he invited him on Tuesday night. The man had to work. He worked at a factory right down the road. I saw him. Let me share this. We've gotten to bed about 2 o'clock. A missionary from Cuba. He's been there 20 years. Me and him were talking, fellowshipping. He's 79 years old, this missionary. Man, we just couldn't help but talk. And another pastor friend that was there, Burrow, we said, let's pray for this Matthew. Let's ask God to save him. Let's ask God to change his heart. Let's ask God to bring him back on Tuesday. How many know that when you're under conviction, sometimes the last place you want to go is church? We prayed and stayed up till 2 o'clock in the morning. My alarm rang at 4 o'clock in the morning, 2 hours of sleep. I made my way out to an old shed in the yard. It was Pastor Jerry let us stay at his old house, his mama's house. I found my way in a shed. God burnt my heart to pray for Matthew. Oh God, save Matthew. Change his heart, Lord. I recognize he's on the precipice of being saved or lost, going to heaven or going to hell. And God burnt my heart to pray for him. I didn't know whether he'd be back that night or not. During lunchtime, after the morning session, we had 3 preachers in the morning, and then we went to Broke for lunch. One of the, how many remember Brian? And Bryan is associate pastor there. He and his wife came up and said, "Pastor, you don't know about Matthew, but I want to tell you about him. He's been passed from pillar to post. You know what I mean. He's been in one foster home after another foster home." And they said, "You don't know a lot about him, but he was kin to them." I said, "It's amazing. I've been praying for him. I've been burdened that God would save him. And God will bring him back tonight." We prayed right there at 12 o'clock lunchtime that he'd come back. Well, the service got to going that night. He wasn't there. I looked around on Tuesday night. He wasn't there. I said, "Dear God, you know what you're doing." And I just pray. And we agreed together. "Hey, two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything they shall ask." It was about 7 o'clock. There he comes in the door. Woo! He comes in the door. I said, "God, you're in this thing. I sense there's a divine appointment." He sat down on the other side. I said, "Dear God, speak to his heart," not knowing if I'd be called on to preach or not. But anyway, the first preacher was called on, and then the pastor said, "Pastor Randy Reese, come and share the next message." I said, "Dear God, I'm nothing but your everything." Stood up to preach the word of God and shared what God put on my heart. And by, as the invitation was given, I looked out there. He had his head bowed. I said, "Dear God," silently in my heart, after giving the invitation, "Dear God," zero in on him. I could tell he was fidgety. And finally, about halfway through the invitation, that young man stepped out and came down to an old-fashioned altar, and the associate pastor got with him and told him how to be saved. He was gloriously saved that night. Woo! Glory! Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. He said he hadn't been in church, hadn't darkened it over church, except for when he was a little boy, about 5 years old. I hugged his neck when I left. I said, "Matthew, what's next?" He said, "I'm going to be baptized." I said, "Hallelujah." I wonder today, if you feel like fainting, would you stand to your feet today? Would you stand to your feet today?